Boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, welcome into episode 70 of Losses Above Replacement, your favorite curling podcast. We are definitely not recording this on April Fool's. That was not a joke. I will say, when I was in middle school, I wanted to make a curling team, but I have this problem that I'm from Georgia, so not much ice down there. So yeah, anyways, Alex, I'm going to save your vocal cords today, so no intro music, but hope you guys are doing well.
Yeah, no, we're doing all right.
I'd be doing better, I think, if the Mets could win a game. But other than that, I'm doing all right. March Madness has been fun. Shout out to the NC State Wolfpack. Other than that, I'm doing all right. Kind of drowsy today. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because I worked out this morning. But yeah, I'm chilling. You know,
I tried. So I like to drink Ghost Energy because I enjoy it. I found out they have a Swedish fish flavor. And actually,
that sounds about right.
Oh my god, it's pretty
good.
Please
send me some. I will send you my address. I will. Please, I need it bad. I don't even like energy drinks like that. I need it. I love Swedish fish, bro.
All right, yeah, no bet. We'll make that work. Okay. But yeah, no, it was. I went to Mariner opening day, which was an amazing time, even though the team lost. But no, just I love opening day. It's one of, like, honestly, people like to say that game seven are the best words in all of sports. For me, it's opening day. Opening day is so much fun. And all of the festivities that lead up into it, it's the start of a brand new season. I would say that probably the most exciting words are game seven, but the best words are opening day.
Yeah, I went to opening day at Citi Field, and like you, Alex, I mean, my team lost, but I mean, it was just great to be back at the ballpark. By the way, Citi Field has a new food truck up in the 300 section that I mean, I got a pretty baller brisket grilled cheese at the ball game.
That sounds good.
And dude, I'm telling you, if you guys are ever in New York, you need to hit Citi Field. No matter how good or bad the Mets are, I go for the food. The food's amazing. So that's the thing, is even when the team isn't playing that well, I just enjoy going to games. So yeah, it was fun. My first opening day since 2008, the last one at Shea Stadium.
There you go. I will be going to Nationals Park and Orioles Park at Camden Yards this season. So hopefully they have some nice food
great
options.
Yep.
The White Sox have a 1 pound milkshake that I was telling my grandmother about earlier today, and I was saying I will run laps for that. Maybe not right after consuming the milkshake, but I will run laps.
I
for
hope
it.
Not.
And the Royals have a back to the blue burger.
Saw that. Yeah.
I don't know what they're trying there. The Rangers have a lot of good options that I need to make a trip to Globe Life and.
Yep.
Yeah, the LAR crew needs to be on the road ASAP so we can try new foods.
I mean, yeah, I just want to go to all the stadiums, so we just need to do this anyway.
Yeah, I
wonder if we could possibly do, like, maybe in June. Obviously, this isn't, like, a real thing, but I wonder if the schedule could work out that you could go to 30 stadiums in 30 days in June, like, in a month.
That would be incredible.
I remember some people attempted it.
Yeah, some people have tried it. I'm not sure if it's actually possible.
We'd have to make a lot more money, but...
yeah, no, 100%.
Okay, anyway, speaking of money, Jordan Montgomery finally signed. It only took approximately 10 years. The entire March Madness tournament felt like it happened. Everything happened in NFL free agency. Jordan Montgomery is a snake. In the eyes of the Texas Rangers, he is at least. He's actually on the Diamondbacks with a one-year $25 million deal with a vesting option for year two, if Max's words are correct here. He can opt out if he makes 10 starts this year, so he should hit that at the beginning of June or so. What was your initial reaction to Monty to the desert?
I'll go first on this one real quick here. My initial reaction was just glad it's over. Like, at this point right now, we've been talking so much about the Boris Four, and having that finally, the last one that finally signed, I think it brought a very interesting narrative to it about how well Boris clients are going to be going forward if this becomes a trend. Now, like, again, we had four straight free agents here that all did this kind of similar short-year deals here, one or two-year deal to then more likely test free agency test free agency out before going to. Sorry, let me just restructure my thought there for a second. Taking a shorter deal to at least try out for a season and then test free agency market again the next year. And I don't know how much I like it. I think that it could become a problem if this becomes something consistent for Boris clients. If that becomes the case, I think we might start seeing the end of Boris at some point. Yes, he's getting his clients money, but if they keep going from team to team to team to team and keep having to do prove it years, then what's the point of it?
Yeah, my big issue here is that Montgomery signed so late in the process that he's not going to be ready until sometime in May.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, there's this thing about the opposite. You know, he can opt out if he makes 10 starts this year. All right. Maybe he probably, assuming he doesn't get hurt, he has a pretty clean bill of health in recent years. All right. Then he makes his 10 starts, whatever. But that's not a full, you know, it's not a full body of work. You know, I understand, you know, first of all, I think this is a fine move for the Diamondbacks. They are without Eduardo Rodriguez right now, and they acknowledge that they needed more pitching depth. But, you know, this is my concern. Apparently, there are rumors that the Mets were still looking at Montgomery as an option for the rotation. But, you know, when how much help is he if he's not going to be ready when the season begins? That's my issue. So I think this is a fine deal for the Diamondbacks. For Montgomery, I feel like he should not be opting out. That's my one thing. If the option vests, I would stick in Arizona for another year. But, you know, I think my bigger concern is with the pitchers that sign these deals. Like, Blake Snell is not in the majors right now. Jordan Montgomery is not ready yet. As for, you know, JD Martinez got a one-year deal. But he will be in the majors supposedly by the end of this week or on this current road trip. So that's only like a week or two that he's going to be missing. But pitchers, it takes longer to build up. So the longer they dry out the process, they're only hurting themselves. They're hurting their team, whoever they sign. So I don't expect this to persist, honestly. I think that Boris and his crew will learn from this. And if they do sign one-year deals, they'll sign them early in the offseason. It's okay to bet on yourself, but I feel like this is kind of a rough situation.
I will say that I've been on this camp the entire offseason that Boris's clients are all inherently flawed and they are not
100%.
The elite of the elite guys. So the big five guys, only one of them was in one of our top five lists. And that was Mac had JD Martinez in his. Chapman's not a top five third baseman. Snell's not a top 10 pitcher. Montgomery's not maybe even a top 30 pitcher. Bellinger
borderline.
Yeah. But probably sixth. And even he's coming off of a horrible, or he's coming off of a great season, but before that he was horrendous. So it was this weird set of circumstances that like you have legitimate flaws with these players, right? This is not a Juan Soto. Well, he doesn't play defense. Well, he's the generational hitter, so it doesn't really matter, right? This isn't a, well, Aaron Judge is kind of unhealthy. Well, he's also a generational hitter, right? This isn't if Zach Wheeler reached the market next year. Right. So, I mean, every player has flaws, but these guys are inherently flawed players that have, like, the one with the fewest flaws is probably Jordan Montgomery. And his flaw is that he's just not like that guy. He's like, in theory, number three, he was boosted by a really nice playoff run. Like, Blake Snell walks the world. JD Martinez is very old and has back issues. Matt Chapman is April Merchant, I guess. And Cody Bellinger had two horrible seasons. So I get it. I think this is a special case, though. And I know the Boris cooked. I liked the memes. Listen, I will like all the memes. Send me the memes, please, at @LAR_baseball. I will like your memes. The problem is Boris actually had some nice contracts. He got Jose Altuve 5/125 with the Astros. That was kind of out of left field. He got Young-Ho Lee, who is awesome, by the way, 6/113 for the Giants. That's probably a steal right now, but you play, he goes from the KBO to the Giants and it's $113 million. What? That was crazy. But I think his top end clients this year were incredibly flawed players. Great players, yes. Like very good MLB players, but not quite the Cole, Judge, Yamamoto, Ohtani, Soto next year, that you can think about. So that's my hang up here, that it's not like you're not going after Patrick Mahomes here, you're going after Kirk Cousins.
That's the thing, is that to your point about Montgomery, what I was gathering is that I remember there were reports that he was seeking a similar contract to what Carlos Rodon got from the Yankees, or to what Aaron Nola got from the Phillies earlier in the offseason. Montgomery is a fine pitcher. He's a mid-rotation arm who was trying to get paid like an ace. He in my head, he is not an ace. Like I said, I think he's a two or a three on most staffs. He was really good for Texas last year down the stretch, but that's a smaller sample size. I'm not saying he can't be reliable, but you gotta sort of temper your expectations. I don't expect him to be, you know, a sub three ERA guy over 200 innings.
Yeah, I'm with you on this one. That's Jordan Montgomery is a good pitcher. Don't get me wrong. Like, take a look at what he's done. He's got a 12.6 career WAR and a career ERA of 3.68, almost nice. But at the same time, like, looking at what he's done, he's now 31 years old. 31 years old. He did incredible last year, but before, like, last year during the end of the stretch. But take a look at what he had been doing beforehand. He was consistently good, but not great, right? Looking at what he did over the course of the last couple of years, right? In 2023 overall, had a combined ERA of 3.20. Then the year prior to that in 2022, had a ERA of 3.48. So he's getting better, but I don't think anyone sees him as an ace. And I don't think even, you know, the Diamondbacks see him as an ace. I mean, they still got Zach Gallen, who, in my opinion, I think a lot of others' opinion would say Gallen is a lot better than Montgomery. So at that point, what you're signing him to be right now is to be depth. But the biggest problem, I think, with him signing overall, or at least with him being the Boris client, is that being the client that he was at that point, he was booked as being the ace and was trying to get ace level money, when unfortunately that's just not where he's at. Don't get me wrong. Again, he's a pretty darn good pitcher, but I don't think he's an ace. You don't think he's an ace. Take a look at him. He has not gotten a single accolade, by the way. Not a silver, like not a rookie of the year, no gold glove, no all-star appearances, nothing. Which, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, you know, you can be good without having accolades, obviously. But it's a little interesting to look at, considering that what he has, that he's not had pretty good strikeout-to-walk ratio. It's been okay at 3.41, which is, again, that's okay. Not amazingly, though. A career whip of 1.209, all right. Hits per nine of 8.4 is a little high. Like, I'm looking at him, and I don't see how they even could try to put the label ace on him.
Yeah, and actually, looking at his page now, he's never thrown 200 innings in a season. But like I said, I think he's a fine pitcher. I mean, good for him on getting $25 million this year. I mean, I thought coming into the offseason, I didn't see him getting more than probably 20 or so, 20, yeah, maybe $23 million per year. But then again, you got to look at this. I mean, Lucas Giolito got $19 million this offseason. Luis Severino got $14 million. Aaron Nola got $25 million almost per year coming off a down year. So we're going to see this coming offseason, there's a lot of good pitching free agents, including Corbin Burns and Max Fried and potentially Roky Sasaki. These guys are going to get so much money this offseason. I honestly wonder, you know, had Zach Wheeler played out this season, who knows what he would have gotten. But that's the thing. Zach Wheeler, coming off not his best year, still got $42 million annually for the next 3 years. So Montgomery's $25 million, I guess, given the context, makes some sense. Mm-hmm.
And one more thing to kind of put on with this is that this is a good ad for the Diamondbacks, right? For a team that has, I'll admit, probably a lot of the expectations this year. They made the World Series last year, albeit with some people thinking they may not have deserved it. I think they did. But overall, looking at what they need, starting pitching is definitely on that list, right? And you can, one of the adages of baseball is that you can never have enough starting pitching, and they definitely added in that department, right? And that is one thing that honestly would really help them get over the hump. Don't get me wrong, they're still, in my opinion, the second best team in the NL West, but that's a really high bar to set when you have the Dodgers right there. But now you take a look at this team, and now you have a much more bona fide, like, 1, 2, 3, 4. Now that makes, like, say you make it into the playoffs. That makes your series look a lot better with guys now like Gallant and Montgomery leading the charge against other people's 1, 2, 3s.
Yeah, I think Arizona has one of the top 1 through 4s in baseball. I think you can, off the dome, probably third behind Seattle and Atlanta. I think they have more high-end stuff. Like, you have, in theory, two aces with Atlanta, although Max Fried probably just got rung up or got walked a guy on a pitch in the zone just a second ago. And Seattle has, you know, Castillo, Kirby, and then incredible upside behind them. So Arizona is in that group of potential the third best rotation in baseball. Brandon Pfaadt is your, in theory, five guy. I know Erod's dealing with some injuries right now, and he's, I've always been a big Erod guy. I've kind of soured on him this year because it's just like, I don't know, it's bad in spring, he's injured, it's all kind of wacky. But it's time for overreactions, friends. This is the best part about opening day. It's the best part about the opening series. It's time to just let it fly. And I'm going to start, CJ Abrams is a top 10 shortstop. The speed, the defense, the power. Oh, man. He had a swing against Cincinnati the other day, yesterday when we were recording this. It was easy power. Easy power. This man, it was like Ellie power from the shortstop position. He stole three bases in a game. He helped the Nationals come back and shock Alexis Diaz, the inferior Diaz brother. That's probably the nicest thing I've ever said about Edwin on this podcast. Just incredible tools. He's only 23. I think the future is incredibly bright. He is the one shining piece to me left over from the Soto trade that, yeah, you got something. I think he got something.
Well,
you got
okay, some... James Wood is there. Yeah, he just hasn't.
That's a good point. That's a good point. But Abrams is a shortstop. I will say that. So CJ Abrams is a top 10 shortstop. The power, the speed, he could go like 2060 this year, and I wouldn't be shocked. And he's been a plus glove so far this season. So I'm really happy with how Abrams has progressed. So AJ Preller probably knows what he's doing drafting all the shortstops.
So I'll go ahead with one of my overreactions, and obviously I have to throw a Met overreaction. It's funny because you can't go a week without an overreaction in New York, but mine is that the Mets are going to sell this summer again. This weekend was atrocious. I'm just going to straight up say it. Almost everything about it, everyone not named Pete Alonso and Francisco Alvarez and Starling Marte just didn't show up. Nimmo, Lindor, McNeil, you know, they were all struggling. The rotation, nobody could get it past the fifth inning. This might be a long summer. I'm just going to put it this way. And I would not be surprised to see Jose Quintana get dealt, potentially McNeil, potentially Marte. JD Martinez is going to be on the team soon. They're struggling. I'd expect him to get dealt. So, yeah, that's my overreaction. I hope to God I'm wrong.
All right. No, I feel that. My first overreaction is that the Houston Astros are cooked. The Houston Astros will be not making the playoffs this year. Here, they are currently 0-4 with their best player, Yordan Alvarez, getting a measly 2 hits over the last series, batting currently 118. The rest of the team doesn't look good either. They only have a couple of homers on their team. They don't matter at that point. And then looking at the pitching side of things, man, when your best pitcher right now, according to strikeouts, is Josh Hader, a reliever, your guys have not been doing good. One of their best guys here, Brian Abreu, has an 11.57 ERA. How is this guy starting? As well as Parker Mushinski, 13.5 ERA. Come on, what are we talking about here? This entire team is falling apart. The fact that they have one of their pitchers here that is one of their best at ERA is named after a country in JP France. Like, what are you talking about here? What kind of player has that kind of a last name? The only good one is a first
Yeah, I
baseman
don't
for
know
the
what you're talking about,
Mariners.
man.
Yeah, no, 100% here. No, the entire team is falling apart here. They're starting to realize that the Crawford box isn't going to solve all their problems. So yeah, Astros aren't making the playoffs. They'll be right there with the Angels and the Athletics come summertime, and they're going to be selling at the deadline.
That was
I
a
wonder how
spicy
long
one.
Alex has been waiting to say
Oh, it felt so good!
You know what else feels good? Watching Shota Imanaga pitch. He was unbelievable today as we were recording against the Rockies. I do not care that it's the Colorado Rockies. I do not care. I do not care. Shota Imanaga will join the Fernando Valenzuela Club. Cy Young, Rookie of the Year. Book it right now.
I mean, I could see it. I ain't mad about
Yeah.
that.
I mean, dude, he did look fantastic today, especially he was, he his fastball plays up. Yeah, no, he's awesome. I'm gonna stick in the NL Central for my next overreaction. The Pirates are winning the NL Central. This team looked fantastic this weekend. By the way, I saw this. I forget who tweeted it, but this is only the second time they've opened the season with a four-game series sweep. The only other time was in 1903. You know what happened in 1903? They made the World Series.
They did
So,
lose to Boston, sadly.
yep, but keep that in mind. This team, they just look so fun. 382 on base percentage as a team, 814 OPS. Brian Reynolds, good start, homer and five RBIs. O'Neill Cruz went 5-14. Other than Jack Suwinski, I mean, the offense was clicking. Ke'Bryan Hayes, 8-for-18 to start the year. The pitching staff, I mean, Jared Jones. Yes, he allowed 3 runs in 5 2/3, but he struck out 10, got like 20 whiffs. David Bednar isn't quite there yet, but he's going to be good, I think. Yeah, I'm loving the Pirates right now, and I fully expect them to win the NL Central.
I could see that. Like, honestly, that makes some
I
sense.
hope it
So,
happens. I mean,
yeah. All right, I'll go next. Here's my next one, and I am gonna now do a Mariner one, and this is probably my least spicy take. But we'll see. The Mariners' rotation is the best in baseball by far. Like, not it's not close. Right? I'm looking at these guys right now: Logan Gilbert, George Kirby, Bryce Miller, Luis Castillo. Those four guys, just four, because we haven't even seen the fifth one yet. We're seeing him today. I'm actually going to his opening day because I really want to see what his debut. Emerson Hancock is going to be really fun to watch. But look, I was watching all four of these pitchers go, and just looking at them just made me excited, made me happy. Watching the velocity on Luis Castillo, and he took a little time to get his command. I'm not going to say he didn't, but looked incredible. George Kirby went out and basically said, "Hey guys, I'm going to prove Alex and Mac right in picking me for AL Cy Young here," as he absolutely dominated in that first game here. And then Bryce Miller coming out with an amazing outing. Like, don't get me wrong, he had a little bit of problems with leaving some pitches up, but that new splitter he debuted, oh my God, it was beautiful. Like, the fact that he is your number four starter and is doing things like that. Not even to mention Logan Gilbert, who also dominated in his first start. You have one through four that all have ace potential. Like, we were just talking about Jordan Montgomery not being considered an ace, and he's still a number two, number three starter. Seattle has four people, three people that will probably get Cy Young consideration, and four, maybe even five, depending on how the last guy does, that could be considered an ace on some teams. Like, the fact that there's any competition. Yes, the Dodgers have Yamamoto and all these others. Yes, the Phillies have Wheeler and Nola. Seattle has a true, to quote MLB The Show, a god squad of pitching staff.
honestly, I kind of agree, though, that they do have the best rotation in baseball. I'll say that much. And yes, George Kirby is winning Cy Young.
I think a certain Braves has an argument there, but I see your point, Alex. I think the Braves have a little bit more of an established group because like you're still waiting for Bryce Miller to like actually be that guy, you know? So I think that's a fair take, though. I don't know how much of an overreaction that is. I think that was a pretty
I think my way to make it an overreaction was saying that there's no one close. Where
Yeah, I
even
don't
the
know.
Braves here have some good names here, a Mr. Tight Pants Mustache Man and a few others,
The pants are
but
no longer tight, sadly.
what,
Pause,
really?
pause. Yeah, because everyone got the same pants.
Yeah, and they're all
Right.
bad.
Oh, also, the jerseys, this is not an overreaction. The jerseys are absolute garbage.
Oh
Oh
yeah,
yeah,
no, they
no.
like
Yeah,
it's funny. I
they're
went
awful.
and
It's
loaded
really
up a
bad.
game called The Bigs 2 a little bit ago, which is
Oh.
notorious for making the jerseys look bad because they're supposed to be on ultra bulked up players. They look exactly the same.
They
Yeah, no,
do.
it's horrible.
It's actually stunning. Why is Chris Sale's name so small on the jersey?
Why is
I like I
everyone's name so
four
small?
letter
I
name.
saw a
Yeah.
combination. It was a like a Mets fan, right? So it was one guy wearing the old Pete Alonso jersey, one guy wearing the new one. It's like I
Yeah,
know it like
what's
might have been a
going
youth
on? Like,
jersey or whatever. Bro, what are we doing? What are we doing? This is an April Fool's joke, an elaborate prank by Nike Fanatics, MLB. Like, fix it, please. Also, shout out to the Royals because they actually have normal jerseys to some degree. So, sticking with the Royals, Michael Garcia is actually Barry Bonds. This man had four career home runs entering this season. He has two in three games. He is God tier. He is hitting 167, but has an OPS plus of 125. If that's not God, I don't know what is. Happy Easter, belated Easter, by the way. I will talk about that more in a moment. But Michael Garcia is going to be a Gold Glover. He will hit the most home runs in the American League. He is him. He is the American League version of Key Brian Hayes and will actually reach his peak before Key Brian, because actually Hayes has been pretty good this season. But dueling MVPs for Garcia and Hayes.
so I'm sticking in the American League, and I'm going Andrew Bailey's leading the Red Sox to the promised land this year. He did great things for the Giants pitching staff, and yes, it's only four games, but he opened the season. The Red Sox pitching staff only allowed 8 earned runs and 35 and a third innings, 2 1 run losses. I mean, what can you really do about that? Cutter Crawford was fantastic on the mound, only allowing one unearned run in 6 innings, 7 strikeouts. Nick Pivetta struck out 10 in 6 innings. Brian Bello wasn't great, but Garrett Whitlock was really good. And Whitlock is a guy who I've always thought would just be much better off as a reliever. And same with Crawford, by the way. But I think that having Bailey as the pitching coach is really going to make the Red Sox rotation take that next step forward. And if that lineup is performing the way it should be, I think the Red Sox can surprise some people. I always said, they're the weakest team in a good division. They're not necessarily a bad team. So I think there's reason to believe that the Red Sox can make it back to the postseason this year.
I can see those, like the Red Sox. I think that's probably that has potential. I'm not sure. Just would look at the talent, which actually kind of leads into my thing, my last overreaction. Talent wise and ability wise, the American League is the best division or best league in baseball over the National League by a significant margin. I'm looking at the teams on both, like for both leagues, right? And going division by division, right? The American League just has the better teams. Like the National League has good teams like the Dodgers and the Braves and the Mets and the Phillies. The American League East, where four of the five teams are still considered to be could be winners for that division. The Central at least has a couple teams that look good, and the American League West has three teams that are stacked at the top of the division. You take a look at the National League West, and there are two, maybe three teams that are competing, but only one that's actually competing. The Central is just a weird show where you're not quite sure what you're gonna get. You could get greatest, you could get nothing. It's really a grab bag. And then on the National League East, it used to be an incredibly competitive division with the Braves and the Mets and the Phillies and even the Marlins coming to play. But now it's just the Braves and a little bit of the Phillies. Like the Mets, as much as I want them to be good, they haven't been. And they betrayed my trust last year, too. The Phillies are one of the most, I don't want to say unproven because that's not the correct word here. But they are probably one of the streakiest teams where they're either going to be absolutely great or absolutely dreadful. There's no in between with that team. And then, of course, you have the Marlins that don't matter and the Nationals that don't matter. So, except for, the amazing jerseys that are going to be going away. So after the season, they won't matter. So at that point, like looking at it, just talent-wise, ability-wise, the American League is just better, which means that the team that wins in the American League goes to the World Series from it is going to win the World Series. And that team will be your Seattle Mariners.
Okay. So Alex is on that Christmas crack. I did make Christmas crack while I was on vacation. Also, side note, the best way to watch baseball, unless you're at the ballpark, is sitting in a hammock watching it on your phone.
That's
You're not wrong.
I'm
Yeah,
sorry. It is the
actually.
best, especially when your team is winning. I'm just gonna throw that out there.
Sorry.
Before we move on, Mac, do you have anything to say to Rhys Hoskins?
I'd rather not get into it.
Okay, fair enough.
Let's just put it, I'll put it this way. I was at the game and for a second I forgot who slid into second base on the play, and I was like, oh yeah, that's Rhys Hoskins, of course. And then, I'll just put this out there that the thing that John Boy posted the other day, that Rhys Hoskins has slid into Jeff McNeil five times, in four of those instances, he's broken up a double play in some way. I think it was, McNeil reached a point where he was no longer going to put up with it. I do. I'm not saying it was. Yeah, first of all, the fact that he ran away from the conflict, dude, you probably have like 50 pounds on McNeil. I just want to put it out there. With all due respect to Jeff McNeil, I know he bulked up, but Hoskins was not a particularly popular figure in New York coming into this weekend, and this sort of cemented that. So that's my two cents on Rhys Hoskins. I will not elaborate on this any further.
Okay, great. Alex, do you have any laundry to air?
I personally want to see more from the Mariner offense, and anyone who is saying, by the way, that George Kirby's gonna be the new Felix Hernandez when it comes to pitching amazing with no run support, go away. Kindly just go away.
Hey, I have a guy who might actually help your offense this year. His name is Colton Wong.
Nope.
They
ha he has the just about the exact same WRC plus as the entire Mariners right now. Well, Wong's 2023 with the Mariners. Take that back. So, Colton Wong, the newest second baseman for the Baltimore Orioles.
Also, I just want to say one thing really quickly, right? In that I think it was a game. Yeah, it was the third game of the set. I'm is it the third, fourth? Jorge Polanco hit a deep drive to right. And it went foul by a matter of inches. And had the wind not been blowing down and in like that, as much as it was, that would have been a home run. That would have given Seattle the win. So, it'd be like that sometimes.
It do be like that. So
Yeah, I would
one.
also like to throw something out there that it took exactly three games for Mets fans to start jumping on Francisco Lindor again, and I cannot believe how dedicated this fan base is to hating someone who is actually a good baseball player. And like, he's a nice guy too. Like, what more? I don't know. New York baseball fans are just, they're so rational. What can I say?
Are they better than Philly fans?
They're crazy in different ways. Let's put it that
Okay.
way.
So the Braves played on Easter. They're playing the Phillies in Philly. And Brandon Gaudin says, I think the Braves would boo Jesus after coming back. That was the funniest line in the history of baseball. I know it's been over and done with because it was like, oh, they boo Santa Claus, they boo this. I get it. Philly fans were up in arms. It's like, can you take a joke? Please, can
Yeah,
you
I was
take a
gonna say,
joke? Can you
man.
laugh at yourself for one moment? We know you're psychopaths. You know you're psychopaths. You know deep down you would boo anyone on that baseball field besides Bryce Harper.
Yeah,
You
I
would
mean, that's,
boo anyone.
yeah.
So please take a joke. Please take a joke, man. We are, if anything, it's a compliment to how ridiculous your fan base is. All Philly fans, not just the Phillies, it's
Oh,
the
Philadelphia
Eagles, the
sports, yeah.
Flyers,
Eagles
the
fans, man,
Sixers.
but.
Like, it is a compliment that your fan base is picked out of all 30 that you are the crazy ones because there are some weird fans out there, but you are the cream of the crop.
Yeah,
So,
it's the thing is that I lived with a bunch of Phillies fans in college, and I went to school about 40 minutes away from Philadelphia, and Everyone was a Phillies Eagles fan, it felt like. The ones that I knew, at least, the ones that I was friends with, they know, they own it, that they their city is a bunch of crazy, that has a bunch of crazy, crazy fans. So, I mean, this thing, what Brandon said is pretty accurate, actually. They will boo anyone. They even booed Mike Schmidt. You know, Mike Schmidt in Philadelphia is, like, how do you boo this man?
How could you? That, imagine if the Yankees booed Derek Jeter.
That would be insane.
No, but they would boo Didi Gregorius because he wasn't Jeter. I remember the first year they got him, they would yell, "We want Jeter," after every error he made. Yankee fans are relentless at that stuff too. But yeah,
that's true.
I just remember the clip of Travis Ishikawa, who had like two at-bats as a Yankee, and he got booed somehow.
Average Yankees so, moment. I'm surprised Juan Soto didn't start like 0 for 11 and returns to the Bronx with a chorus of boos. He's been unbelievable, by the way.
Oh, yeah, no, Juan Soto's amazing. He's my AL MVP pick for a reason.
Yeah, bro, you are cooking. You Kirby, you had your National League guy Betts. Went off. Betts, yeah, Betts for MVP. Soto. Yeah, you're cooking. I don't remember who your Cy Young pick was.
In the National
League? Oh, Wheeler, that's right. Wheeler was very good, too.
He was good, yeah.
He got Bryce Harper at first base. He's been looking good. He saved a run on a Matt Olson, what should have been his fourth double of the day, by the way. So Matt
he
Olson
also,
is now Freddie Freeman.
He also flipped over the dugout on a ball that was like 2 feet away from him. But
yeah, I didn't get that one. I think it went off it went off like the.
I was confused netting. By that. Oh, okay, so, that makes sense then.
Yeah, you, Bryce Harper. I know I'm a Braves fan, so you're probably not listening to me, but you have made over $300 million. It is the second game of the season. You do not need to be diving into dugouts. I promise you do not need to be diving into dugouts.
Ike Davis would have caught that.
If you were Heis Barper, then okay, maybe you need to make the team, whatever. If you're Derek Hall and you have to play first, or Alec Boehm, okay, fair enough. But you're Bryce Harper. You are a future Hall of Famer. You are one of the best players I've ever seen play the game of baseball, if not the best on some occasions, because our idiot pitchers can't throw good pitches to you. I don't know. Bryce Elder, who... Gwinnett Stryper's legend. So Bryce Harper, please don't be diving into dugouts. We need you to play 150 games this season. Well, we, meaning baseball. I, as a Braves fan, would prefer if you played two games and sat the rest of the season as a protest because your fans would actually boo Jesus. So, anyways, it's time for Narrative Ball. We have a new segment. It's called Narrative Ball. We each have, it's kind of the same as the overreactions, but we will pick out one stat that will prove all of our narratives correctly. Who would like to begin? Who would like to be the first Narrative Ball expert in LAR history? Actually, we should all spew Narrative Ball anyways, but.
True. I think you should go first on this one, Splash.
Okay. Here's my take. Ozzie Albies is Barry Bonds. Now, there's a caveat here that it is against left-handed pitching only, and they have the exact same slugging percentage, at least as of before Ozzie Albies hit a home run off Ranger Suarez yesterday. 569. Ozzie Albies' career slugging percentage against lefties, 569. Same as Barry Bonds. By the way, on the all-time OPS leaderboard against lefties, he is sandwiched between Mike Trout, future Hall of Famer, Mookie Betts, future Hall of Famer. So Ozzie Albies, future Hall of Famer, come at me.
Yeah, no, I can understand that. And that's something that's going to be always, like... that's one thing that I've always kind of had a weird feeling about, is switch hitters. Like, yes, it's good to always make sure you have the advantage, but it's very clear that almost all switch hitters have a side they prefer. There's a side they just do better on. And, like, I understand that, you know, you want to see it, you know, the better way. I don't know how much worse you would be, though, if you just stayed on your preferred side, though. Like, and it's something that's always hard because you want always say, yes, you want the advantage. You want the advantage. You want the advantage. But if you're not doing anything with it, do you actually have an advantage?
It's tough because Albies is an adequate hitter from the left side. And so much of his at-bats come from the left side because you primarily face righties. So... he's in the weird spot that his right-handed swing is better, which is not the case usually. Usually the lefty swing is better because you face so many more righties than lefties. So like Cedric Mullins, for example, could go and just eliminate his right-handed swing because he was better from the left side, and you can kind of deal with the bad platoon splits against other lefties. Like, he got absolutely folded by someone on the Angels the other day. Like, it was as bad of a, like, he got folded, bro. It's like the John Kruk versus Randy Johnson, the All-Star game. It was bad. It was bad. But, okay, Cedric Mullins can get away with that. Other switch hitters that turn into just lefties can get away with it. But Ozzy being better from the right side, that really hurts the platoon advantage. Like, that's 70% of your plate appearances or so. So it's not bad from the left side. That's the thing. It would be to me, it would be different if he was actually bad from the left side. I think his career OPS from the left side is 760. So that's like right around league average. And out of a second baseman who is generally good defensively, although not in recent years, you'll take it. And a guy who brings some speed to the equation, okay, you'll take it, right? But I don't know. It's that weird situation that him sacrificing the switch hitting ability might not actually work because it's the opposite side of the platoon. Now, granted, maybe he has more power from the right side, and maybe that would be just better off against righties, and maybe a year of, you know, he'd have probably 450 plate appearances against righties. So if you just swung right-handed the whole time, you get a lot of major league practice.
Yeah,
I mean, you can have practice against freaking Spencer Strider. Like, who else do you need to practice against, Franklin?
Well, I almost wonder, like, if he batted righty on righty, like, I don't know how, because I know sometimes, like,
he does it against righties. Position players, and then Zach Greinke in the World Series. So on sparing occasions, he will.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of switch hitters do that. So if you have the right matchup,
I know, like, if for a while, like, against knuckleballers, like, righties would bat right-handed against Tim Wakefield and various other knuckleballers. So, I mean, maybe it's worth, for him, maybe it's worth trying to just bat right-handed. Although, I think he did improve a little bit last year batting lefty. So, that is worth noting. But I have a narrative ball that...
All right, let's hear it.
It's not to do with the Mets, actually, if you wouldn't believe it. But Mookie Betts is going to hit 50 homers this year. I'm just going to say it. He's going to match his uniform number. I mean, start the year 11 for 22 with 4 homers and 10 RBIs. What more can you ask out of this guy? That's my question. He's just so good at everything. He's probably the best athlete in the sport. He could probably be good at anything. You know, I know we've said it before, like, if you could pick one player in the majors to do every sport in the Olympics, it'd be Mookie Betts. And you know, the fact that he's a little guy, he's only 5'9", but he can hit the daylights out of the ball, hit it far. It's awesome to watch. And I think Mookie Betts can hit 50 homers in the season.
I can understand that. I don't. I honestly, you know what? I actually could kind of agree with that. Look at the power that he has. He is just absolutely unreal. Looking at what he's able to do. So, all right, I'm going to go on to my pick here, and mine should not be too much of a surprise here. I'm going a little bit on what I was talking about with George Kirby being the Cy Young, but I'm also going to throw a little bit extra to it. George Kirby will also lead the league this year in complete games. And here's my reasoning for this one. This is pure logic, right? So when you are throwing less balls, right, when you are throwing just more strikes here, you're peppering the zone and you're not walking people. Walking people, for one, is free bases, but two, it's a lot of pitches. It takes 4 pitches to walk someone, usually more because you throw a couple strikes in there. But if you're not walking anybody, that's not pitches that are just being wasted for someone to go on first base. These are all pitches that are competitive, that will either strike the person out or get them to ground out, fly out, or at least put a ball in play, right? So with that being said, looking at what Kirby did last year, he had, if I look correctly, he only had 1 complete game. But I think that number is going to go up, and I think he could lead it this year, purely because he's not going to be throwing as many pitches per inning. If it continues on the stuff that we've seen from him, where he has this incredible fastball, slider, splitter, all this fun stuff here, looking at what he's able to do, he can get people out with true efficiency. And it's impressive to watch what he does because he can go through two, three innings and you look at his pitch count and goes, wait, how does he only have 30 pitches? It's because he's not throwing balls ever. He is peppering the zone and he is doing competitive pitches that make hitters swing. They know they can't just usually take the first pitch because then they're going to be behind from the get-go. Montes, they have to be looking from pitch number one. And that also means that if they're looking from pitch number one, they might be swinging more at pitch number one, which means that that batter now already has its result. All right, that's either whether it be an out, a hit, homer, anything like that. Because of that, you are now going to have so many more different batter results in a shorter amount of time and a shorter amount of pitches. And the biggest problem we have right now with players not going complete games on it is the pure fact that they throw too many pitches. There's a lot of pitchers here that are done with 100 pitches by the end of the sixth, maybe even seventh inning. But we saw a lot of times last year, and hell, even starting to go this year, where he wasn't even getting to 100 pitches by the seventh inning. He was getting there by the eighth, maybe even the ninth inning. So, because he's not going to be throwing as many pitches, he's getting those earlier, what I like to call, again, these other earlier results, that means that he's going to be going deeper and deeper and deeper into ball games, and then finishing those games as well.
I like your take, Alex. And Mac, I like your take. If Betts were to hit 50 home runs, he would be the second shortest player ever to do so, followed only by Hack Wilson, who did it at 5'6", hit 56 home runs.
Wow, I did not realize that. Wow.
Yeah, so pretty good. Mel Ott is second with 42. Roy Campanella, another Dodger, did it as a catch, 41, by the way. Mookie is tied for fourth with 39 from last season. Ozzie Albies might be on that list too, by the way. Also, Tommy Harper had a season that he hit 30 home runs. He's 5'9 as well. So go Tommy Harper. That's insane. The year after he stole 73 bags for the Seattle Pilots, he had a 30-30 season with the Brewers. So,
dang.
Yeah. Fair enough, baseball. Yeah. Speaking definitely of baseball, I heard a certain Alex has a trivia mm-hmm. segment. My sources correct?
Okay, all cool. Right, your source of me is correct here as we get ready. It is time for trivia, everyone's favorite segment here. I'm leading it today, so we'll have Splash and Mac going head-to-head today. And I call this trivia starting things off with a bang. We started off the Major League season with a bang already. A lot of great games so far. Also, a lot of hard-hit home runs as well. And that is going to be your task today. For both of you, I have compiled a list of every player that has hit a home run in the 2024 opening day. Now, I'm going to be very clear about one caveat to this. I am not counting the Seoul series. Those games, I am not counting as opening day. I'm counting this as the full-on opening day that we had a couple days ago. Yeah, well, all the teams were playing. All the teams were doing
just the first game?
Just the first game.
So does it include Friday for the Braves, Phillies, Mets, and Brewers?
Let me double check. I'm going to say no on this. So this is going to include here. Yeah, so I found I'll be very open on this as well. MLB posted a video called All 2024 Opening Day Home Runs. And that is what I am basing myself off of. If we have any challenges, I have the VR
video evidence. VAR.
I was about to say the VAR, yeah.
We need a video podcast ASAP because I was doing the VAR thing. Yeah, so
nice. I would love to have a video podcast at some point. Anyway, I don't have those on my list currently, but you know, maybe I'm wrong and maybe I'm just being dumb for a minute.
It'd be like that.
Anyway, with that being said, here I have with me a coin. And what's going to happen here is you guys are going to take turns one by one saying a player that hit a home run on opening day. There are 27 names, 27 different players hit a home run on opening day. And from that, you guys are just going to go back and forth, take naming a name. If you repeat a name or you say a name that did not hit a home run on opening day, you will be given a strike, three strikes, and you are out. So, yeah. With that being said, I'll tell you what, Mac, how about you go this time? I would like you to call heads or tails. I will be flipping this pretty cool little Yokohama Japan 2023 Pokemon coin.
Oh, that's pretty dope. Yeah.
Yeah. All
Passes the
right.
vibe check.
All right. Tails.
It is tails. All
Let's
right.
go.
Mac, would you like to go first or would you like to defer?
I'll receive the kickoff.
Sounds good. All right. I need you to name me a player that hit a home run on opening day.
All right, give me Cedric Mullins.
Cedric Mullins is correct. I know I wrote it, but where are you on my list here? I remember Cedric Mullins hitting it. Did I not
Yeah, he
write
had
it
a three-run
down?
homer late in the game.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, no, I had that. Where did it go? I don't know why it's not working. Sorry, give me just one moment. Oh, there we go. I found it. There we go.
Okay.
All right. Perfect. So Cedric Mullins is eliminated on the board. Splash, it is now up to you.
Mike Trout.
Mike Trout
That
starting
felt good to
off.
say.
Yes.
Mike
It
Trout.
did. It felt great. It feels great. It was such a nice story seeing him come out and hits a home run, the first homer of 2024 opening day.
Yes. Beautiful
All
art
right,
right there.
Mac. Yep, Mac, back to you.
All right, man. I had name on the oh, Michael Conforto.
Michael Conforto definitely hit a home run. All right, Splash, back to you.
He's injured now, but Royce Lewis.
Man.
Get well soon, my dudes.
Dude,
He is a
I need to see
menace.
that guy back on the field, man.
The Twins need to see him back on the field.
They bend to that.
Definitely. All right. Back to back.
Back to me. Who? Oh, Travis Jankowski.
Travis
Game
Jankowski.
tying pinch hit home run. Jeez.
Amazing. All right, back to
Oh
Splash.
my God. We will go with Michael Garcia.
Mikel Garcia gets one for the Royals.
All right. I believe this guy hit one on opening day. I believe this was opening day. O'Neal Cruz off
A
Sixto Sanchez.
cruise missile, it was. All right. Back to Splash.
Tyler O'Neal.
Tyler
Every opening
O'Neal.
day, it
Every
is a
opening
given.
day
It is a
against
great
my
opening day.
Mariners.
It is a
Sad,
given.
sad times. All right. Over again to Mac.
All right. I mentioned him earlier. Mookie Betts.
Mookie hit a big blast, too. Back to Splash.
Eddie Rosario. I will not give the alternate name for Eddie Rosario.
I won't either, but he did hit a home run. Back to Mac.
Wait, he okay.
Center fielder,
Ooh.
by the way.
Oh, wow. I did not
Yeah.
know that.
Wow.
Yeah. I'll
Definitely
go
a
with a guy
choice.
who I'll go with a guy who hit two homers on opening day, Nick Martini.
I was waiting for someone to say Nick Martini. That is correct. I was debating whether or not to put his name twice, but two home runs, I'm just like, nah, let's just give him the one. Splash, your turn.
I think Mookie went yard.
Is that your answer?
Oh.
If
Oh
that's your
no.
answer, yep,
Oh
it is
no.
your first strike, as
Oh
that answer
no.
has already
Repeat.
been said.
I'm cooked. I am so cooked. Darn.
All right, Splash has his first strike. Mac, it is on to you.
Right, Mitch Haniger.
That home run landed maybe two sections away from me. So, Mitch Haniger is correct in a beautiful home run in his homecoming.
We're gonna go with Tony Taters, Anthony Santander.
Anthony Santander got a home run. So, back to you, Mac.
Rafael Devers.
Raffy Devers made me sad. That is correct.
It'd be like that. We're going to go with Vladdy Jr.
The MLB
Yeah, he
The
had a
Show
bomb.
cover boy got a tater tot. All right. Next up.
Man, I literally just had a name in my head and I completely lost it.
We better find it pretty quickly.
I know I do.
It'd be like that.
Because there were multiple guys who went deep in that Rays game, I know. Oh my God, it's gonna bother me that I lost it. Okay.
Still
I'm also
plenty
trying
of
to remember,
names on the
like,
board.
I know. Wait, how many names are there actually?
Keep thinking on a name and I'll get the number to you.
All right, great. What in the world? I literally just had a name in my head and it
There's
completely
12 names remaining.
12 names remaining. All right. Oh, okay. I going to go with I can't believe I lost my the name I was thinking of. I think he went deep. George Springer.
George Springer is correct. He did hit a
Let's
home
go.
run.
The Springer Dinger. There you
A
go.
Springer Dinger.
Where's Oswaldo? Oswaldo Cabrera.
Oh, that's who I was gonna say, and then I
Oswaldo
lost the name.
Cabrera is correct. All right, Matt, it's back to you now.
Jake Myers. Same game.
Jake Myers. Gotta find Myers, and that is correct because I remember watching that one.
We're gonna go with Kevin Biggio.
Kevon
Go, dude.
Biggio did go yard in that game. All right, Mac, it's back to you. You still have a one strike lead.
Yeah, we're starting to reach the end of my end of my battery, you know. That didn't make any
I think I can
sense.
do three more names. So
All right.
scary times.
Yeah. I know
Also,
someone went
Austin
deep
Riley
for
just hit a home run. He was not a correct answer for this, but he
I
just hit a
thought
home
that
run.
was a I thought that was a rain delay. In a rain
It
delay.
was the first pitch back from the rain delay or
Oh,
second pitch
okay.
back from the rain delay, 9-0
All right.
Braves.
I'm going. I believe this guy homered opening day. There was only one home run that day, even though his team scored 16 runs, 14 inning, by the way. Lourdes
Oof.
Gurriel Jr.
Lourdes Gurriel Jr. did get a bomb during that big inning.
Yep.
All right, splash to you again.
From one current snake to a former one, Paul Goldschmidt.
Goldie got one deep. Mac, back to you.
Okay, I'm going to go with Freddie Freeman.
Freddie Freeman did, in fact, go yard. All right, splash to you again. We're starting to run out on names.
Yandy Diaz.
Yandy went deep. All right. He went yon deep. Okay, Mac, it's
Okay,
you.
that was bad.
You're correct.
Yeah, I was terrible actually.
I do not care, though.
Oh my God. Again. Okay. I'm even trying to remember every game that was played. That's not a great strategy, but
Trying to remember every game that's ever happened, starting with
I will help you. There are no
1942.
Seattle Pilots on the list.
Oh, true.
Well, yeah,
Or
I knew
there's also
that.
no Philadelphia A's.
Really?
Yeah.
There are
What about the New York
no
Giants?
maybe.
The Boston Braves. Okay. Oh man. This is difficult.
How many
I'll
names are
say that.
left, Alex?
There are four names remaining.
Ooh.
I think I can pull one more.
Only four names remain.
Yeah.
Okay. I might just have to start naming random names and hope they stick. Brian Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds is correct.
Ooh,
Let's
that's a good
pull
one.
that
Okay.
one back. All
Okay.
right, Splash, the pressure is now on you.
We're gonna go with Adelis Garcia.
He went with a name quickly and responds with a correct answer. Adelis
Bang.
Garcia
Okay,
went deep.
beautiful.
There are two more names
Two names
left on
left.
this.
I'll be honest, I am completely I'm completely out of names. So maybe if I name enough if I just name a random player, maybe they went deep. I don't know.
I
Um,
mean, all you need,
that.
I think, yeah, all you need is one to win.
Yep,
Yeah, I do. The issue is that I don't know if I
you
can name one at
do.
this
Good point.
point.
Good well, point. Here's the thing. If neither of you name anymore, Mac wins, though, because he doesn't
that
have the
is, one. That is fair. That is fair.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. Who else would have possibly hit a home run on opening day? I am definitely struggling. I'll say that much. I don't think he did.
I need an answer, man.
All right, I'm just gonna. I don't think he actually went deep, but Jazz Chisholm.
Jazz Chisholm did not.
Yeah, no, nah,
that
he
is
didn't.
A strike for you.
Okay. I'm gonna stay in the same game. I know the Locked On Pirates host was hyping this guy up all offseason, saying he could hit 20 home runs. Edward Olivares.
Edward Olivares did go yard.
Bang. Let's go. Okay. Okay.
So there's all only right. One.
There's
think,
only
I'm
one
out of names.
More name
I think
left.
I'm out of names. I think I'm out of names.
So you guys are now tied at now one strike apiece. So we may need a tiebreaker, but we'll see. Mac, you can win it right here. Whoever gets this name will win.
Oh my God. One name left. This is going to be nearly impossible. I'll be honest. You know what? I'll just go with Josh Naylor. I don't know.
Josh Naylor is incorrect.
Yeah, no, I couldn't. I just all know right. That was like one of the few games we haven't mentioned was Cleveland.
That's fair. All right. That's the second strike here for Mac. Splash, if you get this right, you are today's winner. Come from behind.
Okay. I'm going to go with. So Chicago didn't score. No, the White Sox didn't score. The Cubs, Ian Happ.
You say you're going Ian Happ?
Yeah, Ian Happ.
Splash, that is your second strike.
Yeah, I don't think the Cubs hit a home run that day, so.
So I will give you guys one hint, minor hint for this. So you guys all both right. Got two strikes. This home run, this player was in a game that has already been mentioned during this game of trivia. So as in like the person who hit a home run here is in a game that you mentioned where someone else also hit a home run.
Ah, Mike Clevenger to the White Sox.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Back to the White Sox. Maybe we'll win 50 games this year.
Maybe they saw the 9-0 notification and decided they need more pitching.
Maybe. True.
I will say Garrett Crochet was awesome.
Know.
Garrett Crochet
was
very good against
yes.
the Tigers.
Yeah, fair enough.
So maybe baseball teams know more than we do. Just saying.
You're saying so it's someone in a game that we already mentioned, like someone hit a home run it.
Yes.
All right.
I don't know how much of a hint that is, but I know it really isn't much of one. If I say much more, I'm gonna give it away. I think.
God.
I have one more hint I can use, but that'll be after you guys get three strikes.
Teoscar Hernandez. I don't know.
Teoscar is not correct. That is your third strike, Mac. All right, Splash. If you could get this name, you are today's winner.
We're going to go with Stuart Fairchild.
That is incorrect. All right. Yeah. So it's a tiebreaker here again. Here's the hint, the other hint to you guys. This was a pinch hit home run.
Oh, brother.
Mac.
A pinch hit home run?
It was a pinch hit home run on opening day.
And it's not Travis Jankowski, because I already mentioned him.
Yeah, it's not Travis Jankowski.
It's not Travis Jankowski, but someone hit a pinch hit home run on opening day. And it's not Oswaldo Cabrera either.
Correct.
Oh my God. Someone hit a pinch hit home run.
All right.
Because they were.
Here's what I'm gonna do.
I'm gonna take a guess and say it was one of the later games because I have no recollection of this.
So I'm gonna do one more thing for this to make it a little bit easier. I think I'm gonna have you guys buzz in. I'm gonna be giving hints to it, and whoever buzzes in first and gets it right will get the point.
All
right.
Sure.
All right. So I've already said here he was a player who hit a home run in a game that we've already talked about in this game. Next, it was a pinch hit home run. Next, known utility man.
Utility man.
Mauricio Dubon.
No.
What?
Next
known utility
hint.
Man.
Next hint. He is more well known by his name shortened into a nickname.
What?
What? That was a splash level hint right there.
I'm trying to think of hints that don't just give it away immediately.
Lou Bob.
No.
The White Sox didn't score. I'm an idiot.
Okay. Here's the hint that might just fully give it away because we want to keep moving. He plays for the Mariners.
Dylan Moore.
Dylan Moore is correct.
Yeah, let's go.
Dylan Moore hit a center field home run in that game.
God.
That was beautiful. All right, Splash.
GGs.
Wow. Splash.
The comeback.
The comeback was real. And
yeah,
I'm just laughing over here being like, I am the hint. Look at me.
I mean, I had a feeling after a while, it was like, it was definitely from the Mariners game. But I'll be honest, I fell asleep before that game ended because, you know, it started late for us.
Bums.
So, yeah.
It'd be like that.
All right, congratulations to Splash, today's trivia winner.
I'll get one of these eventually.
You will.
It's just going to be like backyard baseball Mets players that I'm cooking.
Exactly.
shout out to Tyler O'Neill, by the way.
Yeah. Anyway, I hand the reins back to you, Splash.
All right, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for our sentimental segment, our moment to ourselves. I'd like to go first. I have a couple rapid fire ones.
Go ahead.
Okay, so
go for
count
it,
me down. Count me down.
3, 2, 1, begin.
So first off, when this podcast is coming out April 2nd, happy birthday to my best friend, Skylar. Lots of love. See you soon. Number two, Austin, if you're listening. Hope you pull through with what you're going through. The guys in the group chat are thinking about you. Number three, I need North Carolina State to beat Purdue badly. Just please. I do not want to watch a UConn Purdue national championship game. I don't want to watch an Alabama Purdue national championship game. I don't want to watch another Purdue game ever. Please, for the love of all things holy, go Wolfpack. We need to see a Wolfpack versus Huskies national championship, by the way. First, that would be the first 11 seed to ever go to the championship. Also, we had seed Agami with NC State beating Duke, the first ever 11 seed to beat a 4 seed. If it had been vice versa, it also would have been a seed Agami. That was a very cool graphic on Twitter. Also, shout out to my family. We had a great vacation in the Outer Banks. That was a lot of fun. I think that's about it.
So, fair enough, yeah.
Alexander Mack, feel free.
All right, Mack, you want to go or you want me to go?
You can go.
All righty. So let's get started in 3, 2, 1, begin. I love baseball so much. I can't like tell you how excited I was for opening day. And now I'm even going to today's game. Here, it was a last second thing where I'm going to be getting both the Julio No-Fly Zone bobblehead as well as an anime-inspired t-shirt. Here because of Emerald City Comic Con that just happened. But no, like I'm slowly realizing more and more just like how much I love this game and how much I feel excited going to a baseball game. Like I joke around that T-Mobile Park is my happy place, and to be fair, it's kinda accurate. I love getting to go to the stadium. I love the sounds, I love the smells, I love the people, I love all of it. There's only a few things I have that are problematic, but that's something to do with the stadium itself. Baseball is something that has truly been revitalizing me and has been making me feel even better on the inside. And truly, it's the best kind of therapy.
Yeah, I mean,
Amen to that.
there's a reason it's been my favorite sport my entire life, you
Definitely.
know?
Definitely. All
Yeah.
right,
All right.
Mac, you ready?
I can get going. Someone count me down.
Yep, I got you. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, begin.
So during March Madness, obviously, you know, I watched a lot of basketball, but over the weekend, my family spent a lot of it watching the swimming championships for NCAAs, and it was probably the fastest competition we've ever seen. So I'll just say this: Paris is going to be insane this year. If you have time, I believe finals will be going on at reasonable hours. So if you get a chance to watch the swimming this summer, please do. It's going to be, I mean, Leon Marchand, who's the star for ASU this year. By the way, that team was cut in 2008 and just won their first national championship, but he's going to be competing in his home country. And, you know, I think we're going to see some historic stuff this summer. This weekend was just the beginning of something huge. And yeah, I can't wait to see what happens in Paris this summer.
We have more breaking news. Estuary Ruiz is now a Las Vegas A or Las Vegas Ace.
Yeah, I
He's
just saw that.
being optioned to AAA for some unknown reason.
That's bad.
Why are the what are you doing?
Let him keep playing. He's good.
One, he's good. Like, that is just correct. Two, what are you doing? Three, what are you doing? Four, he's probably your like fifth best player. So again, what are you doing? Although there, and Estuary Ruiz, despite being incredibly fast, is not very good with the glove. But he's hitting like 400 right now. I know it's only a very small sample size, but I don't know. He could steal 70 bases. Like,
Yeah, like that's one of the amazing things about him, and one of the best things about that team. Like that makes
I
me.
do not get it. Also, the rain is back out in Chicago, so that might be a final in eight. Anyways, thank you guys for watching. Thank you guys for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed. I know I certainly did. If you did enjoy, hey, think about dropping a 5-star review on Apple or Spotify or wherever you enjoy your podcasts. If you want to see more of our content, you can follow us on Twitter at LAR underscore baseball. Instagram, I haven't been posting very much. My apologies. We also have a YouTube page, LAR baseball. If you want to follow me, I'm at Mr. Splashman 19. You can follow Mac at Matthias underscore A underscore K. You can follow Alex at The Sports Guy 242. If you want to follow anything else, you can just search that on Twitter. I can't help you much there. So, anyways, from all three of us, hope you have a wonderful day. And remember, Yoan Moncada is not a great baseball player. He's fine. He used to be better.
I remember when he was hyped up for a long time.
Yeah, he was great. Like, for a while, he was pretty good. High contact bat, in theory, good with the glove, but it hasn't panned out. So, see you guys soon. Peace.
See ya.